This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 9th, the first Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
And lead us not into temptation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to change gears a little bit today. I generally like to take a little portion of somewhere in the readings and expound on those portions of Scripture. Today I want to do something a little bit more conceptual, and the concept being that common thread throughout the readings today, particularly the Genesis reading and the Gospel, about temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We say that every single day, hopefully. You're praying that time and time again in the Lord's Prayer. There are seven petitions. The sixth is, lead us not into temptation. No matter what stage of life in which you find yourself, temptation is a part of that life. You can be very, very young or very, very old, and you are beset by temptations. Interesting thing about it is different periods of our lives, we have different sorts of temptations. They can be in your younger days, you have the temptation primarily to, you know, again, generally speaking, to disobedience, to be rebellious to authority. As you get older, you can have these temptations to maybe undercut a coworker so that you might look better in the eyes of your boss, or cheat a little bit on an exam to make sure you get your master's. Little things like that. Things that are the little white lies and things of that nature. We are tempted to do that. And probably at the end of our lives, even more so, and this is to be on your ultimate guard for this and for those whom you know who may be dying. At the last point of our lives, temptation is at the most dangerous, because that's the last time Satan ever has to get into a possibility of having us deny our faith. Can't have that. We can't have that. We must gird ourselves against these temptations. But first, we have to understand temptations in and of themselves. Temptation, let's just talk about that briefly. Everybody, a lot of times I'll bring up pastors, I'll say, you know what, we hear a lot of times in church this, that, or the other thing. You might even be hard-pressed to define it. Everybody can define temptation. Everybody can define it, but we have to have a deeper understanding of how it works in our lives, because temptation can be positive. How can it ever be positive? Temptation can be positive when someone is tried and proven. Tried and proven. It can actually be meritorious. There can be rewards for temptation. It's kind of interesting. Hearing confessions, a lot of folks will come in and they will present it in different ways, but then you're talking about temptations? Yeah. Well, did you give into that temptation? No. Well, you just confessed a merit in your life, because we all have temptations. They are the tests that go on consistently. Every single day, every moment of every day, we are tempted to do things. And it's, again, when it merits us, it can be actually good for our souls. The scriptures are replete. The book of Deuteronomy says explicitly, the Lord tries you, that it may appear whether you love him or not. That's very explicit and very pointed. We have to understand that temptation can prove whether we love God or not. A couple personages in the Bible, historically. Tobias from the Old Testament. He was tempted after he was perceived to be acceptable by God. He was considered acceptable, and then he was tempted. Why? Because he was blessed, and God wanted everybody to know that if he lost some blessings, just like Job, in an even more grand sense, that they will still remain faithful to God. And then there's the pinnacle of adherence to faith in the sight of temptation. And that was Abraham. He is our singular act of obedience and faith in Almighty God at the time of temptation. What was that temptation? That was a temptation to kill his son, Isaac. I mean, God, the angel of the Lord, told him, sacrifice your son. the one whom you love, your only son, sacrifice him. Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate. He marched his son up to a mountain, bound him to a sacrificial altar, and was getting ready to plunge a knife when the angel of the Lord said, do not lay your hand on the boy. Now, you can sit back at that and go, well, I would never have that much faith. Okay? Think about Abraham for a second, because we learn later on in the Old Testament and in the New that it wasn't a matter of he was just going to do something lockstep. God told me to kill my son, so I'm going to do it. He didn't approach it like that. He approached the sacrifice knowing with all his being that the Lord his God would either one of two things, prevent him from doing it, or if he did it, raise him back to life. That's why he did it. It wasn't just, again, rote lockstep. It was understanding. An understanding of the love of God, his faithfulness. Because God said that he would, through his seed, make him the father of many nations. It was faith and obedience. That's the positive aspect of temptation. Calamity is another thing. When I talk about these temptations, these are not temptations given you by God. They are temptations that are presented to you that God does not prevent. He does not keep them from being presented to you. That he will let them be presented to you because he wants to make a point to either you or to those around you. God doesn't prevent them. It is how we react to them. It's how we react to those temptations that can be meritorious for us. They can make you a better Christian. That's the positive side of things. Generally speaking, however, our definition of temptation is usually on that more negative side, and I would submit to you the more prevalent side, and that is when temptation is presented to us that impels us to sin, that impels us to turn our face away from God, that seductive voice. It is a seductive voice. We see that in Genesis today, when the serpent is in discourse with Eve. Temptation never comes to you in ugliness, ever. It doesn't come to you in ugliness. Everybody in their humanness does whatever they do because of a positive, in their mind, motive. I'm not even going to go through the list. Fill in the blanks yourselves. The temptation is seductive. Satan has been doing this for millennia. There's no new tricks in his bag. He does the same thing to Jesus Christ that he does to Eve in the garden. The same exact things. But he impels to sin. He impels us to turn away from God. This is the Lenten aspect of this whole thing. There is something that you can do to prevent it. There are ways that you go, oh, I just got to give myself over because I just know I'm going to be tempted all the time. You can fix it. You can make it better. Three ways, primarily. One, remembering the virtue of Jesus Christ and the saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the whole gospel reading today was about his temptations. And you have to understand something about Jesus' temptations. Whereas we have a breaking point, because he was 100% God and 100% man, he had no breaking point. He had no breaking point. The analogy of human torture would be, it kind of drives the point home. You can only be tortured so long and you will pass out. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was in a spiritual realm, using a torture analogy, where he would never pass out. Imagine the temptations. We fast for a long time, and we look, and somebody comes up to us and says, hey, make the stones bread. We can't make the stones bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ could have done that. He, being God, could have just said, I don't want to be hungry anymore. And he didn't have to be hungry. But he remained hungry for us, to be an example for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, an example of perseverance in the face of temptation. The saints. You know, we come in here on saints' feast days, we talk about saints in the liturgy, the canon of the Mass. St. Francis was not born St. Francis. St. Dominic was not born St. Dominic, or any of the other ones. We don't even recognize them on their birthday. We recognize them on the day that they died. Why? Because that's when their heroic lives came to fruition. That was when everything was said and done. We have to appreciate the fact that they overcame the same temptations. They were not the God-men. They were just regular folks like you and I. They persevered through their temptations. And then they lived a heroic Christian life. They are our examples. The second way to prevent temptation is to, and this is very self-explanatory, I will not expound on it, to not trust yourself. To distrust yourself and have confidence in God. You would not believe how many times I have to hear, well, I thought I could handle this just a little bit. I thought I could do this just a little bit. You can't. You cannot do it. You are weak, you are frail, and you are sinful. Each and every one of us are, and we have to appreciate that. So don't give the temptations any kind of foothold whatsoever. Do not trust yourself. Have confidence in God. Be watchful. This is the third thing. And this is where it really kind of drives home in the Lenten times. Be watchful. Prayer. That's a no-brainer. We're Christians. We should be praying. We should be talking to God. But when we say, lead us not into temptation, that's very general. That's a general thing that we should all say all the time. We say it as a community. However, you have to understand also that to be prayerful on an individual basis, you have to bring up to God the hot buttons in your life. Lord, help me with this. Lord, keep me from this. And time and time and time again throughout the day, you have to do that. Be individual in your prayer. Labor. You know the old adage, sounds so cliche, so campy. What are idle hands? They are the devil's workshop. That is so true. So I'm not idle. Idleness doesn't mean sitting around with your hands on your lap, not doing anything. Idleness means being engaged with the things of this world. Even licit things, even things that are completely legitimate to do, can distract you from your spirituality. Oh, you know, I've been wanting to read the Bible more, but there's just a lot of shows that I love to watch on TV. Is it inherently wrong to watch shows on TV? Another subject for a different day. But the bottom line is, give up a half hour of it. That's spirituality. That's becoming more watchful. It's engaging more with your spiritual side than the temporal side. Watching, fasting. Fasting amplifies your prayers beyond imagination. You know, I talk to people, I've never fasted. I don't fast. Oh, I had somebody just this past week. You lose me. The abstinence thing is okay, but don't talk about fasting. That's not understanding fasting. But I'll tell you what, I pointed out on Ash Wednesday, in that gospel, the Lord doesn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. He expects you to fast. It amplifies your prayer life. Continence, chastity, it goes against the grain of the things that can lead us into temptation. Indulgence, overindulgence, and fill in the blank, reveling, you know, things that we know we ought not do, that I can handle it just a little bit. This isn't so bad, just a little bit. It becomes a lot in very, very short order. We have to get a grip on it because there are indeed rewards to our steadfastness. God, they merit things with God. We are rewarded. Because it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when you are tempted. We are tempted, as I said before, every single day. Not if, but when. When we are tempted, we are placed, and you will find yourself in the position. It's so easy to read that Genesis passage and go, oh, how horrible Eve was. You know, oh, I can't believe she listened to it. We do that every single day. You will be put in a position where you are in the exact position of Eve, where you either have to assent to what God says or the seductive voice of Satan making you turn away from that. You will be in that position, and you have to prepare yourself for it. Again, not a matter of if, but when we will fall. You will have constant stumbles with temptation. Sometimes it's a little trip of the toe. Sometimes you fall flat on your face. Flat on your face in 6 inches of mud. The falls can be that bad. You know what you do when that happens? You dust yourself off and you go about your business. That's Lent. Lent is a microcosm of the Christian life, because that's the Christian life. Our Lenten practices. Oh, I thought I was going to do this. I thought I was going to do this. But, you know, I didn't do it. Oh, Lent's over for me. Wrong. That's wrong. You go through your disciplines, and if you drop the ball a little bit, you pick the ball back up, and you go the rest of Lent. And you can drop the ball 2, 3, 5, 7 times throughout Lent. How many ever? Just dust yourself. Because it is a microcosm of the way we're supposed to live our Christian life. because it's not a matter of if, but when we fall, and we will. One good thing to think about, Gregory of Nyssa, an early Christian father, he's got a very, very short quote. His quote is, Christ is the remedy for sin. Okay, yeah, duh, we got that one. Well, think about it. Christ is the remedy for sin, and think of this analogy. If you would, by some accident or whatever, ingest poison, a deadly poison, okay, you've ingested it, what do? Oh my gosh, I've been poisoned. What do? You go to the hospital. And when you get to the hospital, pray God, there's an antidote for that particular poison. If the doctor hands you the antidote and says, here's the antidote for the poison, and you look at it and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and you read the label, and you read it and go, man, this is great, there's an antidote for my poison. And then you sit it on the table, and you just look at it, and you're thankful. You're so thankful. What's going to happen to you? You're going to die. You know what you have to do with the antidote? You have to take it into yourself. Because the poison is inside you. The antidote has to be inside you. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has presented each and every one of us every time we come here, every time we read the scriptures, but just like the antidote, if you just hear about it and go, oh, thank you, I have Jesus. And you just read about him. Oh, I read about Jesus. I'm real thankful for Jesus. If you don't take Jesus Christ within yourself, if you don't make him innately a part of your being, you're still poisoned. And guess what? That antidote's not going to work for you. It's not a matter of just knowing, just reading, just being thankful. It's a matter of taking it within yourself. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what St. Gregory of Nyssa means when he says Christ is a remedy. There is nothing more pointed that demonstrates that for us than the Holy Eucharist. Nothing. Because the Holy Eucharist is our taking God himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity within ourselves. And when we take him within ourselves, we are truly manifest in a true and objective sense that he does indeed indwell us, and it strengthened us, and it makes us better, and it does act as an antidote for the poison of sin. So, you know, all this temptation thing is Satan trying to let you know that you can be your own little god. That is the seductive voice. Because he explicitly says that to Eve. He explicitly says it to her. If you do that, you will be like God. And what does she do? She wants to be like God. So she takes it and eats. And we know the rest of that story. It happens to each and every one of us every single day. But what are you going to do? Is it going to be seductive and are you going to embrace it? Or are you going to do what our Lord did and just say, be gone? It's the bottom line on this whole message. Do not engage with your temptations. Do all those things that can prevent them. Go out of your way to prevent them. And don't entertain the discourse with the enemy, that seductive voice. Don't trust yourself. Have confidence in God. And respond as our Savior did. Be gone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.